swing and a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone! Cassis does it again.
Again.
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over!
The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Play Tessie. It is episode 114. If you're listening on Drop Day, it's August 15th. I was going to say something about it being the official podcast of Walter Pennington being a big leaguer, but God, man. It's also the official Red Sox podcast of WEI. Subscribe, rate, wherever you're listening, all that. Five stars, YouTube, WEI page, Play Tessie playlist. Socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. Here with Sammy and Pat, just minutes removed from what I firmly believe is the worst loss of the Red Sox season to this point. And I was thinking about this before they lost, but like I was thinking they were going to lose. We recorded a couple episodes or a couple weeks ago after they had lost the final game of the Royals series, but they'd won the first two games of that series. And the way I remember describing it was the vibes were confusing because they'd won the series, but they'd lost the finale. And it's like, what do we even do with this? This is entirely different. The Red Sox won this series. They took 2 out of 3 from the Texas Rangers. And to me, the vibes are in the goddamn toilet. Like, maybe you guys will talk me off a ledge. I'm not going to sit here and say that the season is over or anything like that, because like, by God, they're 2 games out of a playoff spot. It's not like that, but this was a bad, bad loss. And maybe it's like a, what have you done for me lately type deal. And like this loss was such a kick in the groin, kick in the nuts loss that even though they won the series, it literally doesn't even feel like they won the series to me. And you look at moving forward with the bullpen usage. They used 5 relievers in the first game, 4 relievers in the second game, 5 relievers in the third game. They're making multiple roster moves every day trying to keep up with this, because whether it be the starters not being able to go deep, and Hauk I know did go deep in this game today, but in general the starters have not gone deep, or whether it be relievers not being able to make their innings, having to use 2 pitchers, sometimes even 3 to get through an inning. It's such a critical point in the season where these games mean so much. It literally is the difference between making the postseason and not. These games that the Red Sox blow late. And I tweeted this right after the game. I'll say it now. Since the All-Star break, the Red Sox have lost 4 games that they have either led in the 9th or led by multiple runs in the 10th, aka just don't let the dude at the plate score. Whether you've got your closer or someone you trust enough to have out there in a tight game in the 9th, those games need to be locked up in 1, and they're not being locked up in 1. And whether it be because of that 9th inning, it's not just because of that 9th inning in most of these games. And it certainly wasn't in the finale of this one. These games are being lost in the middle innings, in the late innings, whether it be, you know, multiple multi-run leads being blown in the 7th inning, which, by the way, happened in the first game of the series. They had a multi-run lead in the 7th that got blown. It's happening all across the board. You saw it with the defense again in the 3rd game with David Hamilton. That game got tied because of an error there. And it got close because Luis Garcia continues to not get the job done. They had a chance to sweep the series. It would have been huge because we talked about it on the last show with the upcoming schedule. The next 10 games that they have are all against playoff teams. You got 4 with the Orioles, you got 3 with the Diamondbacks, or 3 with the Astros, and then 3 with the Diamondbacks. Like, it's nut up time, and the bullpen is not equipped to do it. And you can look at all 3 of these games at different points in the games and point to it, point to reasons why the bullpen is not equipped to get through this 10-game stretch. So even though they won the series, to me, it very much does not feel like a series win, and I'm not treating it like a series win.
So I'll respond to what you said in reverse order about the bullpen blowing games. I think they hurt a little bit extra this time of year, mid-August. Of course, it's because the games matter more, but we also don't have that trade deadline to fall back on. These are the guys you're going to be going ahead with for the rest of the season. It's either these guys or the guys in AAA, or you're picking someone off the scrap heap. You pretty much know who you got. So when the bullpen falters, and when they falter this often, it's double as discouraging. That said, the Red Sox did gain a game on Kansas City. That is good. They also gained one on Minnesota. My math adds. Actually, no, they're tied with Minnesota. They didn't gain anything on Minnesota. They stand pat with them. So they didn't lose any ground. They gained on the team that they're closest to. It's a good outcome, but it's so hard. It's so hard to feel good about a series win the day after you lose the finale. But when it's like this game that we just saw, where you just go down the list of people who deserve blame for this loss, like, it's just like David Hamilton botches the ground ball. Josh Winkowski can't hold on to a 3-run lead. Rafael Devers makes a boneheaded base running mistake. It's just so many different things went wrong. And I think it's a game that, a series rather, that will feel better tomorrow morning when we wake up. Big picture, they gained ground on the Royals, which was the big thing they needed to do. But man, losses like this, it's just, you talk nut up time. You just got to kick right to the nut up area. Woof.
Yeah. No, I mean, it sucks. And Gordo, you brought it up. They have a pretty brutal stretch coming up. They have 10 games that they need to walk out at least, I would say, 6-4 to feel remotely comfortable. Today was a day. You get a sweep. You get even closer to the Royals. And spoiler alert, the Royals have a pretty easy schedule over the next week. They have 3 with the Reds, 3 with the Angels. So you're going to lose ground probably unless you show up, unless the bullpen does their thing, the rotation gets back on track, they keep hitting. Like, there's a lot of stuff that needs to happen. A win tonight would have gone a long ways in terms of getting to the postseason. But end of the season rolls around. If you're a game out, to me, you point at 2 games. You point tonight and you point to the Yankees one. Those are the two that if you miss out by a game, those are the games that you absolutely fucked yourself with.
Can I give you 2 more? The Colorado one, they're up 7-5 in the 10th inning. You're right, the whole series too. But that particular game, up 2 runs in the 10th inning, you got an out, and then I think it was, I actually don't even know if it was a guy I'd heard of, hit a 2-run homer off Zach Kelly to tie that game. And then the Dodger one, with a 1-run lead, and Kike Hernandez hits the solo homer to tie it.
The Red Sox are way too good at snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. Way too good at that. And it's,
but it wasn't like that. That's why it's so frustrating. You remember the first half? The bullpen was such a strength. You had Jansen with Martin and Slayton as your lockdown setup men. And guess what? Bernardino and Kelly were ERAs in the ones, and at times even below that. And you basically had 5 lockdown guys. And
Weiser was nasty. Yeah. Slayton just burst on the scene. Boozer comes out of nowhere. He's amazing. He's on the aisle now. Like, everyone's just falling apart. You're going to Bailey Horn in big games. Like, nothing against Bailey Horn. I don't want that guy in a big spot. You got away with it on Tuesday night, but man,
Monday.
You don't want to be in that spot. You got, like, I don't want to rip on these guys. Like Chase Shugart, who called up. He's your emergency guy. He's getting beat up in AAA. And you need arms so badly. You got him and Bailey Horn on the roster at the same time. It's just like, I'm hoping this goes away. I'm hoping this is the last year where we have this conversation of this keeps happening with the bullpen, because all the pitching infrastructure people that they brought in, I feel like the meltdown with the pitching staff was later this year, which still sucks, but it's a better sign than what we saw in years past. So I'm hoping next year we don't have this same crap. You got Bailey in his second year, Willard again. Just please, I cannot stand bullpen meltdowns. There's nothing worse as a baseball fan.
I'll be devil's advocate. I'll put a positive spin on this.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
I know.
I don't know where you're going with this one.
I will be positive. You win 2 out of 3. You gain a game on the Royals. Yes, you have an absolute gauntlet coming up. But big picture, we just talked about big picture. I have great news. After those 6 games against the Reds and the Angels, okay, right when the Red Sox schedule starts to die down, get a little bit better, the Royals do the opposite. 3 with the Phillies, 4 with the Guardians, 4 with the Astros, 3 with the Guardians, 3 with the Twins, 3 with the Yankees.
Wow.
That is awful.
But dude, you got to stay close. You got to stay close. And that's why a loss like this is just so gut-wrenching, because they got swept by the Astros. And the way Cora looks at it, and it's been the way that I have drilled it into my head, is you got to look at it series by series, which I guess I'm contradicting myself, because I'm certainly not looking at this one series by series because they won the series. But they got swept by Houston, basically forcing yourself into a situation where, oh my God, you better sweep the Rangers, because look what you got coming up and look what the Royals got coming up. But I agree with you, Pat. I noticed that in the Royals schedule about a week ago and thought to myself, oh, like if they're within 2 or 3 games there, then you've got something. But the issue is you're at 2 games right now and you've got a gauntlet and they've got six bunnies and the Sox have 10 not bunnies. So I it's going to be hard. It's hard for me to imagine, especially with the way this team has played the Orioles the last couple of years, last, I think, 3 years now. It feels like we're going to need to really pray that this is below 5. Like if it gets to, when it gets to 5, that's when we start getting to the territory of like, uh-oh, like these games, like your risk of the game's not mattering. So you got to keep it to like, after this stretch, it can't be worse than 3 to me. And that's going to be hard.
Yeah. The thing that sucks now, like we're at a part of the season where it's 2-factor. Like, okay, let's say you go 6, we'll call it 6-4, right? Doesn't matter, because if the Royals go 5-1, you're net equal. Like you don't make up ground at all. Like now you're to the point where you're looking at the schedule of other teams. We've been on that. We talk about it every day. We've been doing that for a month and a half, but still it is in their control. Like if they go on a run, like whatever, but it's kind of like the last 4 weeks of the NFL season where you're like really looking into scenarios. Who do they have coming up? What do the tiebreakers look like? Like they need help, especially with this upcoming schedule. And that sucks because they shouldn't.
Yeah. They still got a month and a half. Not like, we're not yet into September. It's not like have to win every single game time yet, but it's getting really close. We've already said it. Games like this are just such a gut punch this time of year. It's also annoying seeing, for some reason, it's extra annoying when Luis Garcia struggles, just because he was supposed to be. He was on fire when the Red Sox got him, and he's just falling. What's that, 5 outings in a row allowing a run?
Yep. Can you believe, oh my God, they traded 4 prospects for this guy? I'm not throwing blame at the front office. Like they needed at least a reliever and they went and got 2, which it was, I think at the time, debatable whether they needed 1 or truly needed 2. And by God, they were definitely right. They needed 2, but I'm not going to throw shit. Like they did their job. And like, I still, to this day, I will argue that they came into the season with what I believed was enough bullpen depth. And like you just look at guys that haven't cut it, but I mean, I look at, let's go back a little bit. Let's backpedal here. Let's go back to the first game. Up 2 runs, 7th inning. I believe it was Zach Kelly put a guy on base, and they go to Bailey Horn, who lets up the 2-run homer to Corey Seager. That game goes to extras. You use an extra guy. The worst one in game 2, where you have a 6-0 lead. And I was at this game and I literally said, wow, this is perfect, because they need a game where they can go to a mop-up guy. Like I was thinking maybe we tried Shugart for his big league debut and he can eat you 2 or 3 innings if things go well. And snap your fingers, Cutter puts 4 guys on base and Boozer lets up a hit and walks in 2 runs and turns out he was hurt. And then you got to go to Sims and then you're going to your high leverage guys from there. That is a game where you should not have needed to use your high leverage guys. You should definitely not have needed to use Kenley Jansen for 4 outs. That it made Kenley Jansen unavailable for the 3rd game. And if Kenley Jansen's available for the 3rd game, Chris Martin's going the 8th and not Luis Garcia. And I feel a hell of a lot better about that. They probably sweep this series if not for that one inning in game two. Is that like it's all connected. I don't even think that's a hot take. It's all connected.
No, I mean, maybe they win the game, but it's definitely all connected for sure. Like you said, that earlier today. You were saying how it's funny how baseball is such a series kind of sport. Something happens in game one and it affects you in game three. And that's the thing. That's the difference between, you know, people who tune in once in a while to watch the Red Sox or people who are insane like us who watch 162 games a year. More like locked into, okay, this guy should be available today. And it's just, it illustrates how hard it is to go through a full season. But still, that's not absolving the Red Sox of, again, seemingly running out of gas. And I know they've dealt with injuries and I know they're getting guys back off the IL, but there's got to be a better contingency plan, man. It's so frustrating to see the same shit over and over again. Luckily, this year, they're still in striking distance into mid-August, whereas last year, it kind of felt more so like the writing was on the walls than it does with this year. But
it was over by now, I think, yeah, right? This was like, we were past the Pablo Reyes Grand Slam. That was kind of the last glimmer of hope in the year. And I feel like
early August.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
This was death time last year. This was the time of death last year.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, just, I don't know. What more can we say? Frustrating bullpen. These are your guys you're going with the rest of the year. You need to win games like that. You don't have many. Get them tomorrow is left. So get them tomorrow.
You talk about the contingency plan, Sammy. I think the frustrating thing to me is they had contingency plans and the contingency plans have failed. Lucas Sims overall, I like what he's done, but he was the one who on Friday against the Astros blew the Tanner Houck start. And by the way, Tanner Houck has now gone 6+. He went 6 innings, 1 run in Friday's start. And then in the third game of this series, he went 6 2/3, 2 runs. And the Red Sox lost both of those games with your ace not having his best stuff, but gutting it out and going deep into the game. And it was Sims who blew that one initially. I mean, that one got blown way open after that. And then this one, it was Garcia mixed with the error from Hamilton, mixed with Winkowski with the 3 runs. I mean, God, Sammy, you said it before, but holy crap, how many different people can you look at for this loss?
By the way, to be clear, when I talk about contingency plan, I'm more so talking about high minors pitching kind of stuff. Like, you know how the Dodgers always have some 6'6" moose that they just call up from AAA and the guy's throwing pitches you've never even seen before. And you're like, who the hell is this guy? Like, out of nowhere. That's what I mean. Kind of guy, like young guys you can call up. Not talking about like adding relievers. If Luis Garcia doesn't work out, I'm not going to be mad at Craig Breslow. He was pitching unbelievably well for the Angels. He's a veteran. He's been good for a long time. If he pitches poorly, whatever. How the hell were you supposed to know that was going to happen? Nothing pointed to it. But I'm talking about, I don't want to harp on Chase Shugart. I don't know the guy, but you got to have better than that. I want some freak that people have never heard of that's just an amazing reliever for 2 years, and you never hear about him again.
You want Ryan Brazier from 2018.
No. I want Darwinson right when he came up, when he was good. A guy who you're like, who is this? I think I've heard of him. He's not one of their top prospects, but he's got some good stuff. He's been coming out of the bullpen. Dang, looks good. Holy shit. Good for 2 years. Boom. Go play in Korea or something. I love those kind of relievers.
I'm going to look up the stats, but you know who was that? Do you remember Drake Britton?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Tattoos.
66.
I'm gonna pull up the numbers. I guarantee you Sammy's right on the number. Hold on, he was number 66, of course.
You need to be institutionalized.
So, okay, he came up in 2013 and he had a 3.86 ERA in 18 games. And then in 2014, he came back and he had a 0 ERA in 7 games. And then was never seen again.
That's the most Chad name ever. Drake Britton, bro. It's good,
dude. I love that guy.
Yo, how's your sister doing, dude? I'm Drake.
He had Bad Company, like the 5-finger death punch, Bad Company as his walk-in song. And Sale had it later at some point, but like when Drake Britton had it coming out of the bullpen. Because that's such a bullpen entrance song to me. Like
Bad Company. Yeah.
Yeah. That was sick. But yeah, the Sox, I mean, they've had you look at the guys in the bullpen that didn't start the season. Like Zach Kelly didn't start the season on the roster. Bernie didn't start the season on the roster. Boozer didn't start the season on the roster. So like they had the Like the guys, it's just that the guys that they initially had on the roster weren't good enough. So the contingency plans were thrust into plan A, B, and C really quickly.
Yeah, it's why you need a system of contingency plans and not just like a handful of guys.
That's like, why it takes so long to develop. Like that's that, like this pitching infrastructure, like this is going to take 4 or 5 years to get.
This isn't going to happen overnight. And this is what we were talking about in the offseason, how people were expecting instant results and we're all a little weary of it. And then we looked very wrong at the beginning. And now, unfortunately, it looks like we were kind of right about that. You guys see that kid, Martinez, on the Diamondbacks?
Dude, that's
what I'm talking about. I want a guy like that. Justin Wizard. Martinez.
Wizard. Is he the one who's like closed a couple of games for them lately?
He throws like a 100-mile-an-hour sinking two-seam thing and then a Bugs Bunny change. Like, it's just crazy stuff. But he's probably only going to like be good for a few years.
There's a video of Trevor May like seeing him for the first time. And I imagine it would be like if you showed a caveman a Tesla truck. Like, he is astonished. He's like, who the hell is he?
62 Ks in 52 innings for this kid. That's what I'm talking about. You need to have guys like that who maybe they're not top prospects, but you hone something that they're good at and they become a good reliever. And then when injuries happen, you call them up. Trevor May makes a video about how nasty they are and you're viral and people know who you are now.
Well, it has to be a process to get there. It's frustrating because like I'm texting my buddy. He's like, okay, screw signing the ace. Let's just invest $100 million in relievers this offseason. But the fact is you can't do that because how many times have you seen relievers sign these like mid-level 3 years, $21 million deals and Yankees. They're terrible from the jump.
Remember when the Yankees did that? Yankees signed like three closers. It was like Chapman, Britton. There was another kind of lower level closer that they had.
And then they had Andrew Miller, but that one
Miller. Yeah, they had like a bunch of closers and they're like, we're going to win the World Series by making each game only 7 innings long with our bullpen. But it didn't work.
The other thing is, look at Rafael Montero.
Oh, great example.
Astros gave him 3 years. What was it? Like 36 and change. Didn't even finish year two. DFA'd. Like it's dumb. To an extent, like a premier closer, sure, pay him. A setup man, like a Chris Martin kind of deal. That deal's been phenomenal, obviously. But loading up on those are not guaranteed hits.
They're so risky. They're the riskiest contracts. Really, because you see it. You see it when they're young, too. Like these guys, Sammy, you're talking about like these guys who come up for 2 years and they're great for 2 years and they fall off the wagon. All right, now you're stretching it to they've been good for 6 years. That's how you get to free agency. How much longer are they? Like, it's just not, you can't build a pitching staff, particularly with relievers who are relievers because they weren't good enough to be starters for the most part.
If you had a good team, would you ever consider doing like a Josh Hader kind of contract if you know for a fact you're getting the best or the second best closer in the world? Would you? Because I'm struggling to think if I would ever do that. And I would never.
Josh Hader. Josh Hader this year has a 3.61 ERA. Like that contract's going to age like milk. He had a 1.28 ERA going into his contract year. 3.61 this year. What the hell is that going to look like? He's making 20 plus mil a year.
Right. Like you got the really good season out of him. And then he, like, do you really want to?
Let's check Edwin Diaz. Because I know he hasn't been as good this year.
I think the only guy who I would confidently invest a Hader-esque contract in is his former setup man, Devin Williams.
Even do that.
Is,
I don't know. Yeah.
He's great.
Injuries,
223 career games. Career. 6 years. Career. 1.9 ERA.
He's amazing, but it's relievers. Like, would you be surprised if 2-3 years from now he's posting 3.9? Like, that's by the way, Edwin Diaz, obviously out for the year last year, so he didn't pitch. The year before last year, he had a 1.31 ERA, signed that huge contract, missed all of last season, comes back this year. He's got a 3.71, has had time out of the closer role. It's just so frustrating because like I hate losing games like this. It was so nice. They didn't lose any games like this in the first half. I think it was like 2 in the entire first half, and it's just happening so frequently now. But like, there is no easy solution. Like, it's a long play.
No, unless play better. You have to play better at this point. That's it. It just comes down to that.
If you, this year, like, you've got what you got. And man, I talked about the bullpen usage earlier in the episode. Like, remember how the Astros series finished? Back-to-back bullpen games. And then this series, they used 5, 4, and 5 relievers. They've been making roster moves galore to try to keep up with it. But, like, obviously when you do that, you're bringing up pitchers like Chase Shugart. And it's not like you're having, like, you have your A guys in that spot. Justin Slayton's throwing, but I don't think he's coming back anytime soon, like at least like in the next series or two. Liam Hendricks certainly is, he's going on a rehab stint, but he's going to need a lot of time. Like, that's a guy who hasn't thrown in a year. He hasn't pitched in a year.
I bet you he won't need a lot of time. I bet you he's going to be like, I'm good to go, mate. Put me in there. Fucking oh, put me in there. Bro, he says that a lot.
We're going to have to bleep that. Mark it down, Joe. 25-30. Dude, look at Pat's face.
So much.
Is he frozen?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm not frozen. Ah.
Yeah, no, I bet you Hendricks won't need that much time. Like, he's crazy.
He's nuts. I agree with you, but especially with, like, if you like some of the tweets about what he's done, it's like in his bullpen sessions. I don't know why it took me so long to get there. In his bullpen sessions, the tweets about the bullpen sessions have been, it's taking him a little bit of time to settle down. Like, he gets there, but it's not sharp instantly. Like, it's going to come with time, and he says it's going to come with time.
See, his wife was like, yo, you're landing incorrectly. You don't land like that normally. He was like, oh shit, you're right. And he changed it, and he was pitching better after that.
Yeah, that was
ride or die. That's cool.
Yeah, I can't wait for that guy to pitch for the Sox.
I bet you he just had one rehab outing. He's like, good enough.
I hope. But they, he's, I mean, obviously this year, but next year, like, they'll have Jansen, Martin, Sims, Luis Garcia all on expiring deals. Like, he's going to be, he'll be an important piece of the pen. I can't believe it. We do have to get to series MVP. They did win the series. Technically, they did.
I don't even want to talk about it.
I really don't. We got to do it. I don't want to pick an MVP. I don't feel like picking an MVP.
I'll go first. Ref Snyder.
I'll go Ref Snyder too. I'm sorry. He deserves some more enthusiasm because he did have a really good series. His first, I'm pretty sure, MVP of the series. It's a rough night. He's not getting any enthusiasm, but shout out Rob Ref Snyder.
It's not you, Rob. It's us. You are the ref.
We talk about the bullpen usage. There was 2 outs in that, and what was it? It was the 10th inning. If he doesn't get that hit there, guess what? You're going to probably another inning from Wink. I don't know. At some point, you're going to another guy. Like, he saved some sort of bullets out of the bullpen and won them a game. Had another couple of clutch RBIs in the second game. But even though my vote doesn't matter at this point, I'm going to go with Kenley Jansen for mine. Pitched a scoreless inning in the first one, pushed it to extras, and then the second game comes in the eighth inning when you needed him to get out of it, gets a 4-out save, makes it easy peasy. I know they were up by 5 in the last inning, but it was a 4-out save, and I think I just have a very good appreciation at this point for Kenley Jansen, based off of what we've seen from the rest of the pen. One of my takes earlier this year was that because of the bullpen depth the Red Sox had, that they, if they needed to buy and sell for salary reasons, could afford to trade Kenley Jansen. I was so wrong about that take. That take was so, so wrong, just seeing how the bullpen has gone down the stretch. I don't know where they'd be without this guy. Like, he's had such a good year, and good for Kenley. But Rob Ref Snyder, the series MVP for a series that Red Sox technically did win.
We're in a good mood, dude. We're happy. The Red Sox gained a game on the Royals. Isn't that great? Also, by the way, we have to mention Rafael Devers looks like he's in excruciating pain every single second he's out there. That cannot be a good thing. I'm getting more and more worried about it.
Yes. But at the same time, like, Rafi plays through pain and it always plays well through it. So, like, until he just can't do it. Like, obviously, I'm worried for his sake because I want Rafi to be healthy. But in terms of, like, just evaluating the way the team is going to go, like I don't think it's going to take too much of a toll on his performance.
Just,
like,
just not a good trend. Not a good trend to keep seeing that. Like, it's going to, I mean, he's young now. He's probably a stretchy guy. He's a stretchy dude. He can stretch all around.
Looks like he can stretch.
like, yeah, he's like an elastic. But once he gets older and that mustache fills in, he's going to
keep dreaming.
Yeah.
Never.
Hey, what do you guys think of that mustache? More importantly, than our the best player on our favorite team possibly being injured, what do you think of his mustache?
Is it new? Because I actually noticed it tonight for the first time, and I was like, huh,
like two
I guess
games,
he's
two or three.
I literally said to myself, I guess he's always had that mustache, and I've never noticed it.
He went from like Raffy to Raphael.
No, man, he's our baby.
No, no, now he's
Our little boy.
He's a teenager now. He wants to go on a date to the movie theater without his parents attending. He's really grown up.
No supervision.
Ooh.
No supervision.
Who else deserves home by nine. Who else deserves shouts from this series? I'm trying to think.
Willie played fairly well. He hit a bomb in the third game, even though they lost. He's good at baseball. And, you know, when you're trying to win baseball games, you want guys who are good at baseball. Like Danny Jansen, also good at baseball, has a very, very unsexy swing, but it works. It gets the job done, which is sexy. So thank you, Danny Jansen. Sorry that everyone else let you down.
Wong in the second game as well. Wong was really good.
Can we give a mild shout out to Cutter? Not a huge one, but
yeah, Cutter was
mild.
Good.
Cutter.
Dude, okay. Lou Merlone made the best point ever on his walk the dog Wednesday morning. He said, you can tell if someone watched the game based on what they think of Cutter Crawford's performance on Tuesday night, because he pitched really well and then just fell apart at the end. But overall, very strong outing.
He's perfect.
Like, if you look at his line, you're like, this guy's terrible. Another terrible outing for Cutter. But no, he was perfect through what? Like five
and a third
something? Five and a third?
Yeah, five and a third.
Yeah, Cutter pitched very well. That was encouraging. Sneaky, sneaky encouraging. The starting pitching wasn't awful this series.
Dude, no, it was good. Bayo, six innings, one run. Cutter was perfect through five and a third. And like, obviously what happened after that happened. And then Houck, six and two thirds, two runs. Like, the starting pitching was really good. The offense was good. The bullpen was not.
All right, listen. Starting pitching was good. That's a good thing. The game on the Royals, that's a good thing. The bullpen was not good, but they got reinforcements coming off the IL soon. And Kenley was still good, at least. So your closer is still nails. What I had another positive thing. I was just going to say it. I can't think. Oh, Nick Pivetta's coming back. So you're getting another starter back. Cooper Criswell does not have COVID anymore. I think he's good to go, if I'm not mistaken. Don't quote me on that because I might be wrong. So there's some good things happening. I just have to get through the negativity fog right now. That's what we're in the cloud. It's like that weird spam message I got that one time we were at a Red Sox game, Gordo, with that lady saying that she could read my palm if I needed because she noticed I'm surrounded by dark clouds. It's just like that. We have the dark cloud surrounding us. We need that that lady from Winnipeg to save us. And yeah. Everything's fine. I'm not losing my mind, as you can clearly tell.
Another player that deserves a shout out, Nick Sogard. Sneaky good series.
Yeah.
Nick
hopefully
Sogard,
he's okay.
I think he had three hits, couple RBI, solid deep. Nick Sogard has been a lot more, really, than anyone I think anticipated. He's giving you good at bats, good defense. Like, I think at this point in time, the Red Sox obviously agree, but much rather roster him than Emmanuel Valdez right now.
Yeah, for sure. As long as he's healthy. He got taken out late in the game. What did they say? It was like an ankle thing and he wasn't moving well?
I didn't see it. Cora said it was
a lower body thing and he wasn't moving around well. It didn't seem like he was shocked, but then again, Cora is always pretty even keel with these things. So TBD, either way, there you go. You have reinforcements in the minors. You got Mydroth, you got Valdez, you got Grissom. You can call any of those three guys up. Isn't that a great feeling? Three capable guys.
Such a great feeling. Yes. No, but
you okay? Such a good feeling.
All right, I'm back. Here's what I was going to say there before my mic inexplicably cut out, or maybe I just died. I don't know. But I was watching Sogard's last at bat, and he came up to the plate, and it said his OPS was like 600. I was like, what? Because it feels like every single time, like, you feel like you kind of need a hit to get something going or even to drive in a run, like, he gets it. And he obviously had that awesome bunt RBI today, which I loved, just making things happen. He's just I hope he's okay health-wise. Even if he's not, like, we'll see if he – I mean, I guess it all depends on Tyler O'Neill, which I guess we could talk about in a future episode. But Yeah, he's just been solid. There's been so many guys on the offensive side of the ball that have all been so good, and the offense just has so much fight. And like they're legitimately good. They're so much better than I thought they were going to be. That's another thing I was wrong about. I didn't think this team was going to hit going into the year, and then they lost Casas and Story, and they were still way better than I thought they were going to be offensively. But they just need
so many platoon guys. My God, dude, this game drained me. I'm like tired now. That just destroyed me that whole game.
All right, let's preview the Orioles series then. Let's do that, and then we'll get on out of here. You ready?
I'm ready.
Hit me.
All right. The Sox are going to Baltimore for a 4-game series. This is a biggie because you certainly can't afford a 4-game sweep. You can't really afford to drop 3 out of 4. You got to come away with at least 2. The Orioles here, 71-50. They went 1-1 in their series against the Washington Nationals, a 2-game split. They are 6-6 in August before tonight. When you look at the bats, the way they've hit for the Orioles the last month or so, I'm shocked that they've been this mid in August. But pitching matchups first. First, you got Nick Pivetta returning from his skipped start after his velocity was down, going up against Zach Eflin, who has a 2.33 ERA in his 3 Baltimore starts. Second game, you've got a TBD, which they want to be Criswell. Sammy, you mentioned before, Cooper Criswell, he is COVID-free. He's with the team. He's doing throwing and stuff. They are not saying for sure whether he's ready to make that start. I like to think he's going to make it or maybe even enter after an opener. I don't know, but I like to think he's going to pitch in the game. But he's going against Corbin Burns, who is having an insane walk year, 2.71. I would say probably second in the Cy Young race to Scooble. But that, yes, future Red Sox Corbin Burns in the second game. Third game, Brian Bayo versus Albert Suarez. You might be wondering, who the fuck is Albert Suarez? 24 games, 16 of which are starts. He's thrown 90 and a third innings. He has a 3.39 ERA. Albert Suarez.
Yeah, okay. All right, yeah. Albert.
There's a real person. Fourth game, Cutter Crawford versus my guy, Trevor Rogers, who has not been good since he got to Baltimore. A 7.53 ERA and 3 Baltimore starts. I understand that I'm long playing this take. He's going to be good for them. It's just not going to be this year. Wait till he gains that velocity back next year. But
can you imagine how pissed I would be? So furious if I were an Orioles fan. It's like your best chance to win the World Series in like the last 20 years. And your GM at the deadline is like, we got Trevor Rogers. Awesome.
Hey, awesome. They got Zach Eflin.
Yeah, we got two of their deadline additions pitching in this series.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. They did get it. That was an early move. But still, like, it's like, all right, you got Eflin. Definitely need better. It's kind of like the Red Sox. They definitely needed that more.
No, that would infuriate me because the month leading up to the deadline, they're like, oh, they're obviously getting one of Scooble or Crochet.
Yeah, they're like one of the few teams
Eflin that like Trevor Rogers.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to hear the bats? You want to hear the bats?
No, I don't.
Not really. Yeah, no.
All right. Well, you're going to hear it anyway. Anthony Santander in his walk year has 36 home runs. We're in the middle of August.
Fuck.
Gunnar Henderson is an MVP candidate. Jackson Holliday's back. Remember when he stunk? Well, not anymore. He has a 9.10 OPS since his call-up. He has 5 bombs in his 14 games since getting the call back to the big leagues. Remember they made that like small little trade there? They kind of took a salary dump for Eloy Jimenez. Yeah, he's good again. 9.60 OPS with the Orioles since he got there. Colton Cowser, hot start to the year, crushed the Red Sox earlier this year, then decided to absolutely stink for multiple months. Well, guess what? He's kind of back too. In his last 24 games, 9.18 OPS. He's back in the Rookie of the Year conversation in a big way. They have 7 regulars with an 800 OPS or better in the last 30 days. I don't know how they are 500 in August with all of these guys hitting. But and by the way, none of the seven are Adley Rutschman.
Eventually, maybe people are going to have a conversation about Adley Rutschman, but we'll get to that another day. All right.
He's not that good.
One more time, give me the pitching matchups one more time. Rundown.
Okay, I take it back. I'm not jinxing us. He had 5 hits on opening day last year against Corey Kluber. He's great. He's great. All right, pitching matchups, just to recap it. Quick. Nick Pivetta versus Zach Eflin. TBD, maybe Cooper Criswell versus Corbin Burns.
Fuck.
Brian Bayo versus Albert Suarez. Cutter Crawford versus Trevor Rogers.
All right. Sox.
Hold on. Standings.
Yeah, what the hell, Sammy? You're just going to gloss over that?
I just want to get this over with. I'm in pain. I'm trying to speed things along here.
Well, I'll just tell you that me and Pat got points for correctly predicting wins in two out of the three games against Texas. Sammy and Gordo, about one out of three. So Sammy still leads with 13. Pat still in sole possession of second with 9. I am now in sole possession of third with 8 points. And Gordo is the one in the basement now with 7.
Jill, when did you join this podcast and you've passed me?
So I started in April, but I didn't start making picks regularly. I want to say until mid-June.
Dude, wow. That's bad.
Dude, I was so down bad after getting swept by after the Sox got swept by the Astros. I picked them to lose one or to win one out of three against the Rangers. Ugh.
Either you're bad or I'm just pretty good at it.
Might be a little bit of both. I'm genuine. It's definitely at least me being bad at predicting the series, but I hope I'm going to be wrong on this one because I'm obviously not feeling good about things right now.
And remember, fellas, this is double points because it's a four-game series. So give me the correct sequence if you want to get another point.
All right. Sammy, you want to go first? You were about to deliver.
Yeah, they're going to win one out of four. They're going to win the Bayo game.
All right, I'll go second because that's exactly my prediction. I have loss, loss, win, loss with the Gordo guarantee on the loss in the second game.
Yeah, dude. Gordo guarantee is the baseball equivalent of when one of those bizarre crypto coins comes out and it's called like Wiener coin. And you're like, yeah, this thing is going to make you rich. And then it doesn't.
So are you saying that they're going to win the Burns game because I Gordo guaranteed that they're... This is actually a good thing. I'm Gordo guaranteeing the loss. Let's see what happens.
Okay, yeah. Maybe we can use it to our advantage. Okay.
You get to use the Gordo... I get to use the Gordo guarantee on one game per season, for the entire season. And if I get it right, I get to switch scores with any one of you.
Yeah, sure. The Gordo guarantee, when it's correct, it's never wrong.
Hell yeah, brother. All right, Pat, what do you got?
I think they take 2 out of 4. I think they go loss, loss, win, win.
Loss, loss,
win. So you're having
that's the best way to do it. Best way to have
gutter, but then they revive us.
I like what Bayo's been doing. And against, what was his name? Alberto Suarez?
Albert.
Yeah. Just threw an O at the...
Yeah.
Alberto.
But I think I like their chances with how Bayo has been pitching. And then Rodgers is a lefty, which scares me. However, he's a shit lefty. So I think he'll actually knock him around. I think we win 2 out of 4.
Nice, nice. That's a momentum split. That's the best way to split it.
That's like the best way to take a split. It's the opposite of what we did tonight with the Rangers.
Yeah, I prefer when the Red Sox win the games.
There's an argument to be made that they could win 3 out of 4 here. If Pivetta's rested, if Bayo is as good as he has been the last couple, and Albert Suarez is not what he's been this year, but he is who we think a guy named Albert Suarez should be.
Yeah, and they knock around Trevor Rogers. Right. If everything goes right, they could win. I agree.
3 out of 4. If everything goes right, they don't sweep. They win 3 out of 4.
Yeah, I think if everybody in the lineup hits a home run and we throw 4 perfect games, we might sweep them.
Joe, are you predicting a Red Sox sweep?
No, not even close to that. But I will agree with Pat. I'll go.
You're gonna say they're getting swept.
No. I'll agree with Pat that they'll get 2 out of 4. I think it's gonna be win, loss, loss, win. I like them bouncing back on Sunday, and I like arrested Pivetta.
Loss sandwich.
Yeah,
a win sandwich. No, it's a win. It's a win sandwich.
You mean to say win, loss, loss, win?
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. It is a loss sandwich. You're right. Because it's about what's inside. Loss sandwich. Deep. I'm deep, man. All right, Pat. What are we doing?
Crystal bomb.
Bomb it.
Fucking bomb it.
Score update.
You should be.
I was
going to
say you should be happy. Yeah, Pat's,
you're the only
back.
One. Yeah, you're the only one that got the point. Connor Wong went deep, so got himself another point. Sammy used his Raffy pick. Gordo went Yoshida, and I went Jaron Duran. Lo did I behold that he was going to get a 2-game suspension. So standings are still Sammy in the lead with 17, Gordo in second with 16, Pat in third with 8, me in last with 4.
Oh, dude, I'm so far behind. I felt so good with the Wong pick. I was like, oh, I'm getting back on. Gordo has double my score.
Yeah. Ugh.
Sammy's ahead of me, too.
Yeah. All right. I think We'll go with Gordo first.
All right. I'm going to use my Devers pick here. I normally object to doing it in a four-game series, but it's pretty critical that I get on the board here. And I think Devers got to go lefty in Baltimore. Can't go righty. So give me Devers.
All right. Sammy?
I'm going to go Thick Willie. I feel like he hits his home runs kind of maybe not in bunches, but he's hot and cold. Hit a really, really solidly hit home run tonight on Wednesday as we record. So, yeah, staying away from that big left field. Give me the left-handed Willier Abreu.
All right. Joe?
I'm going to go a little bit off the board because I think Camden favors the lefties. So I'm going to go David Hamilton on this one. I feel like he's due to get one out.
So. No, I see that, Joe. I can picture that.
Yeah.
Picture.
If you thought that was off the board, I'm going Tristan Casas.
Okay.
He
may not play.
I'm well aware. I think he comes back in this series, and I think he hits a home run.
If he comes back, I agree with you. He's going to go deep. Okay. Can we? Yeah, let's backtrack a little bit. Why did I remember someone saying that he had to come, like his rehab stint ended, so he had to come back like on Saturday?
Because he had the 21-day period, which ends Monday.
Exactly. Okay, I did the math out, and it says Monday, but I thought I remember someone saying it was going to happen, had to happen over the weekend, but that's got to be wrong. I was hoping I was wrong, but I think I'm right.
Friend of the program, Brad Foe, was on WEI today, said he would not be surprised if Casas was activated mid-series. So I'm believing him. I'm buying that stock. I'm going to Casas.
When Brad Foe speaks, we listen.
I want Pat to be right. This would be really cool if Casas came back, hit a home run, and then did yoga at second base or something.
Oh, yeah. All right, Sammy, final segment.
Oh, can't lose this one. It's time for, maybe you could. It's time for guys being dudes.
Sure.
All right. So we've done the Orioles before. So we need a player who played for the Red Sox and the Orioles. Would anyone like to go first? No obvious ones, of course. Is there anyone I want to ban?
My guy is not going to be bannable. I promise.
No Craig Kimbrell. That's too easy.
I've noticed he's always the first one you ban. Anytime he's played for a team that the Red Sox are playing, even if there's like six of them, you always ban Kimbrell first.
Kimbrell? Have we?
Yeah.
When have I banned Kimbrell?
Oh, this is like the fourth time you've
Orioles?
Banned.
Braves?
Braves. There was another one.
White Sox? And Braves.
Maybe White Sox. I think you banned him for White Sox.
Kimbrell played for the White Sox?
Oh, maybe he did. Oh. He did. He was good for them, and then they traded him, and he was bad. Or no, they traded for him.
For the Cubs, too.
Oh, that's where you banned him. I think it was the Cubs. He also played for the Dodgers.
Cubs, Dodgers, Phillies, White Sox, Braves.
Oh, my goodness, Phillies.
It's hard for me to imagine. I can't imagine Craig Kimbrell. I totally forgot he was on the White Sox. In my brain, they're just the worst team of all time, so they would never have an elite closer. But what was it, 2021?
I'm pretty sure he's on the team that randomly made the playoffs.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, who wants to go first? No Bruce Chen, because I've done Bruce Chen before. Go ahead, Gordo.
All right, mine's going to be Brandon Snyder, and I don't have any stats for this. I just have a story, and I'll try to tell it quickly so we can fly through this. I was at a Red Sox game. It was like deep in extra innings, so like this is way back before the runner on second rule, so like we're maybe in the 14th or 15th inning. Mike Napoli hits a walk-off home run. I'm sitting like first row next to the Red Sox on deck circle. He hits a walk-off home run. Flips the bat, and then the team's going to mob him at home plate. Brandon Snyder picks up the bat, throws it to the wall so that no one's going to trip on it. It rolls right up in front of me. So I lean over. I'm like leaning over the wall. I underestimated how tall these walls are. My body was like literally dangling over that wall. And as I was touching the bat, the freaking bat boy who – like was like older, so he's like more of a Batman, like the glasses.
Batman.
Dude, he picked me up and threw me over back over. I went like flying like backwards over the seats.
Hell yeah. He put you in your place.
He really did. But yeah, that, none of that happens without Brandon Snyder, who played for both the Red Sox and the Orioles.
All right. That's a good one. I like that.
I can go.
Would you like to bless us?
Yeah, I would. I am going with who I think will be the Red Sox long reliever next week, Rich Hill. Rich Hill, friend of the program, threw a showcase in, where was it?
Waltham.
Waltham. I was going to say Framingham. I knew that was wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was throwing fucking 86 mile an hour BBs. Looked good. And with Paxton down, go get him, I guess.
Nice. All right. I'm going to go with Dudley. You guys know Dudley?
Is that his full name?
Dudley.
Oh.
Six letters. Just Dudley. He was a short middle infielder, short and second. And boy, did this guy fucking suck. This guy was awful. He played in 1920 and 1921 for the St. Louis Browns, who went on to become the Orioles. Played 73 games, good for a whopping 16 OPS plus, which he hit 176 with no home runs, not a single home run, only 20 hits in 182 at-bats. So this guy was bad. But then the Red Sox saw those numbers, and the Red Sox were like, we got to get Dudley. There he is, Dudley. He looks inspiring. So in 1924, after a three-year hiatus for Dudley in Major League Baseball, they brought him on board, and he was better, but still pretty terrible. Three seasons with the Red Sox, he played 180 games, posted a 62 OPS plus with a 238 average. So not the worst you've ever heard, but terrible. Still zero home runs, seven triples, though. So he did that. And you know what jersey number he wore?
71. No, 21.
Trick question. He played before jersey numbers, so he did not have one. That is friend of the program, who is almost certainly dead.
He's deadly.
Oh, yeah. He is buried at the Fairmount Cemetery in Denver, Colorado. He died more than 50 years ago. So...
What a legend.
Dudley, the middle infielder of the Browns/Orioles and the Red Sox. What would we be without Dudley, is what they used to say.
Incredible.
The best segment. This is the best segment we got. This is Dudley. Rich Hill.
Thanks for tuning in to episode 114 of Play Tessie. Goddamn. Subscribe, rate, 5 stars. Subscribe everywhere. We'll have another episode dropping soon. Got to get that notification. We're on the WEI YouTube page. Hit the thumbs up on our videos. Play Tessie playlist. Find us on the socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. By God, the Red Sox won this series, and I still can't believe it every time I say it. But man, they need to surprise in this Orioles series and make it happen. Because if they take 3 out of 4 of the Orioles series, good things can happen. All it takes is a couple. Like it's like we're entering that stretch where it was like the Yankees and the Phillies, and they won both of those series, and it turned their season around. I'm not saying their season needs turning around right now, but it needs a jolt. And a win in this 4-game series, taking 3 out of 4, or if you really want to get frisky, you could take 4 out of 4. Let's do that. Till next time, for Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it's Gordo here. Play Tessie episode 114. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.